We all want to do this or what?
Heck yeah, we're going to do this. This is Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist on Real Liberty Media. Join the conversation over at reallibertymedia.com. Enjoy the chat room we have set up there. Some regulars always in there, welcoming people, giving some advice, putting up some great links. It's a great place to hang out. Welcome, everybody. It's pretty beautiful here in Sheridan, Oregon today. But it didn't start that way. Man, it was cold this morning. Not Minnesota cold or Wisconsin cold. It was flipping cold. Or that Northeaster that is going on today. That looks brutal. freezing cold, blowing snow, and plenty of it, too. That's crazy. But it was like 25 degrees and for here this morning. That was cold. I didn't realize it, really. I like to support the local coffee shop. There's really only one little drive-through place. So I go pretty much every day. And today, I went down there to get my morning drink. Well, I have like my morning drink. I wake up, have a cup of coffee. And then I go down there and get my wife and I a drink. And it's really just to support them, you know, keep them in business, keep them going. They've been doing it about 20 years. That's awesome. So I guess we're doing a pretty good job. But I got down there to the coffee shop and I was like, man, it is cold. And I look at my truck and it's like 25 degrees on the thermometer. I know those things aren't that accurate, but holy crap, that was cold. Anyway, it warmed up nicely. It's like, says it's 55 here. We have a couple weather stations on the property. A couple. Okay, a few. We have like three. My wife's a weather nut. So, of course, whenever there's a new upgraded weather station, we got to get it. But pretty accurate. So now it's like 55 degrees. So, speaking of cold, though, how about this Canadian trucker convoy? I don't know if you guys have looked at this at all. That is insane what they have been doing. Crazy. Everybody out there, supporters lining overpasses, on-ramps and off-ramps, they're standing out there in the freezing cold because they are tired of the mandates, too. And, props to those guys for showing their support and actually doing something. That is awesome. There's so many videos out there. Go check them out. I think you'll be pretty impressed if you haven't seen it already, which, of course, you know, mainstream media isn't going to cover it, not in the United States, that's for damn sure. At least I haven't, well, I don't watch mainstream media, so I wouldn't have seen it. I'm just making an assumption based on, well, mainstream media. So, I'm not kidding, man. There was some drone footage of, you know, people all along the way. A lot of truckers were live streaming or streaming recordings of their trip. It's just been awesome. It's really been fun to see and inspiring too. So props to those guys. Let's see. I didn't want to jump right into this next thing. It's pretty damn funny though. Let's see if there's anything else we can talk about. No, let's do the next thing. I'm just going to go ahead and play this, and then we'll have a short discussion about it. Let's see, is it ready to go? I think it is. Fuckhead in Ohio. Fuckhead in Ohio. Fuckhead in Ohio. Fuckhead in Ohio. Kate, that was funny. Oh my goodness. Hey, Neil Young, thank you for awesome music back in the day. Now, as I've said more than once, stay in your lane. You know, if you're an actor, act. If you're a singer, sing. You know, if you're in a band, band. Stop trying to preach to the rest of us your beliefs. And it didn't turn out so good for Neil this time. You know, back in the day, I mean, the reason I picked that song and not Old Man Take a Look at My Life, which is also kind of appropriate, I picked that song because, I mean, he was actually, well, they were actually, you know, singing a song about some turmoil back in the day. And what happened? Like, what happened to coming out today and criticizing people who are, you know, who are looking for answers, who are going to some experts and getting some advice, letting the truth out? Neil, I mean, you did it through music. And here you are, what, 40 years later, 50 years later, kind of flipping the coin. See, it's dangerous to get out of your lane. Oh, but good grief. Thanks for the great music. Now stop it. Just stop it. Yeah, I noticed there's some other people jumping on the bandwagon. I hope they all know what they're up against. Because, you know, just if you look at Joe Rogan's podcast, man... I can pretty much guarantee you that Neil Young is not getting 11 million listens a day. I would say I'm pretty certain he's not getting 11 million listens per episode. And probably all of those artists who are going to jump on the bandwagon pooled together are not getting 11 million listens a day on Spotify. But thank you for your great music in the past. It's just crazy, man. It is really just crazy. Oh, and go Joe Rogan, man. It's kind of funny. Coincidental, of course, you know. I'm always talking about my Forrest Gump life. About 2 weeks ago, well, actually, my stepson is always talking about Joe Rogan, and I love Joe Rogan. I've loved him for a long time. Like his commentary on MMA fights, loved him as a comedian, liked him when he did Fear Factor. I mean, the guy's been kind of a constant talent for a very long time, and I've enjoyed him. But I didn't actually sit and listen to his podcast. I would listen to little segments of him. Cat's climbing a tree in the man cave here, studio. Anyway, I would listen to some shorts, but I wouldn't listen to the whole podcast. But so finally, about 2 weeks ago, I hook up with Spotify and start listening to full podcast. And that dude has, you know, however he has attained this gigantic reach where he can just kind of tag people and bring them in to his studio and, you know, interview them, you know, thank God for him. There's a lot of freaking information out there that's good information. You know, it's experts talking about what they're experts about. And it's not only just, you know, COVID-related stuff. He has some of that, but he has a lot of entertainers on. He had Carrot Top on a few weeks ago talking about his career and, you know, what he's done with his life and what he's doing with his life. And, I mean, he just conducts excellent interviews. So, you know, I'm glad that he's here. I'm glad that he's doing it, you know, and I'm glad that we have somewhere else we can go to get information. And by the way, I just want to mention Ron Johnson, Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin. That guy put on a show on BitChute. I think it's called Second Opinion, Senator Ron Johnson. It was 5.5 hours long, and it's not really 5.5 hours because they didn't get started for 40 minutes. So the first 40 minutes, if you go there and look for it, I'll put it in the show notes. And I will tell you, it's worth the listen to hear the people who he has there tell their stories. Some of them, I'm sure that many of you have already, you know, some of you, okay, thanks, Rob. I will check that out. I check everything out you guys post because you guys always have such great links and stuff. What was I saying? Oh, dang it. Oh, Ron Johnson, man, that 5.5 hour. Okay, I was going to say suffered through five. It wasn't suffering at all. I sat through all 5.5 hours. That's not true. I skipped forward until they started talking, which is at 40 minutes. So if you start that bit shoot, skip 40 minutes into it because nobody's saying anything. I think at one point he says, we're going to be gathering people up. There's still people funneling in or whatever. And anyway, it goes to 40. It's the first 40 minutes is nothing. And then they start talking. Now, I don't know what Ron Johnson is going to do with the information that was provided to him, but I'm going to be honest with you guys. No, I'm not. Yeah, I am. There was a moment there close to the end when I got so choked up, and I haven't really put my finger on exactly why it affected me that way. I think it was kind of a culmination of hearing about how people were being treated in hospitals. And there was a point a nurse was talking about, and I've heard this before, so I'm not sure this really did it, but I think the impact finally hit me. Basically, patients were being put in the hospital and given these very toxic drugs. Remdesivir is one, causes kidney failure. And I mean, basically, you just go to the hospital to die. I mean, once they get that respirator on you, ventilator on you, that's pretty much it. Because one of the stupidest things I heard, but I mean, it's a fact. It came from the person who was participating in this activity unwillingly, or I don't think she was actually trying to help, and administration and, you know, hospital, whatever, wouldn't allow her to. But basically, patients would be on the ventilator and not be given enough nutrition to keep them alive, and they would just slowly starve them to death. When this nurse would ask, how come this patient hasn't been fed, the answers given by whomever was, well, we can't take their mask off. This is like the stupidest thing I can even imagine a hospital saying. But if you think about it, you know, they were getting money because, you know, they were telling people that somebody was COVID positive and they were getting money for it. And they got more money the more protocols they followed, basically. It was like bonuses for doing stuff. But here's what really bothers me about not taking the mask off. Because even in the federal prisons, we had positive ventilation rooms. You know, positive pressure rooms. Because, of course, we still had patients coming in that had tuberculosis, or they would test positive for tuberculosis, and then you had to isolate them and put them in these rooms where the air flows in and is sucked out so that no air escapes out of the room, basically. And you could imagine in a time like this, planned or not planned, you would have the same setup. You would have rooms that had this positive airflow. you know, air pushed in and pulled out so that, you know, there aren't any lingering effects. And that the excuse was that we couldn't take their mask off to feed them. You know, when this is all over with, oh, man, I hope people pay the price. I hope every single level of tyranny pays the price eventually. It may take a while, but I really hope it happens. Because if those people aren't held accountable, and I mean all of them, the medical doctors, the hospital administration, the governments, the bureaucracies, the pseudo-governments, the tyrants that, you know, assumed power because they were on school boards or, you know, whatever committees, and, you know, they started laying down the law. They all need to be held accountable, and there's got to be a price to pay, or it's just going to happen again. And, of course, the next time, no, we don't have enough telephone poles. And the next time, you can bet your ass it's going to be worse. You know, I mean, this could very easily be a dry run, for sure. But, yeah, people have to be held accountable, seriously accountable, for killing so many people. I want to make sure I covered what I wanted to cover. Because what I really wanted to talk about, and I've been wanting to talk about it for a couple of shows now, and I just never got quite to it, is I wanted to kind of talk about the long-term effects that we are going to see. Because it doesn't matter if COVID disappears or not. Some damages have already been done, and some of them have been pretty damn significant. There was one reference I'm going to use. Let me just check this out, which means I'm going to read something. But there was one reference that was talking about in the next 3 years. I want to get this number right. It's some like hundreds of thousands of deaths are going to occur. Now, a lot of us, 30 million. Okay, so a lot of us have said they're killing, oh boy, Pebbles is going to help with the show today. This is going to be fun. So she's attacking the papers that I'm going to be reading from. So, which is good. Gotta love the cats and the dogs. Ouch, don't do that. It says, data mining predicts 30 million vax die-offs over the next 3 years. Oh yeah, so what I was saying is, a lot of us have said, well, they're going to kill us one way or the other. They're either going to kill us with the vax, or they're going to kill us with whatever man-made, you know, bug that they're releasing on the population. The fact is that not only are those two things going to happen, have already happened, deaths from, you know, vaccination injuries. Look at how many young men died with heart inflammation, basically, and kids, adverse reactions to vaccinations, you know, every single drug that we use in medicine, in dentistry, in nursing, and whatever, they all have adverse effects. For somebody to come out and say that this treatment that they recommended and called a vaccination was safe is absolutely ludicrous. But anyway, so not only has the vax been killing us and the bug been killing us, but now we're looking at, in the future, the harms that have been done just not because of the vax or the supposed virus, but because of the lockdown. And what has happened because of the lockdown, because of wearing masks, because of social isolation, for all different age groups, a lot of people have suffered. That was something else that came out of that meeting that I was talking about earlier, is so this one nurse actually took this woman who she referred to as Mexican. I don't know why that was important, but it was important, I guess. And she took her in to see her dying loved one, parent. And the nurse actually got arrested or something for doing that, for actually taking this family member in to see their dying family member. And the nurse was probably, obviously, fired for doing something so compassionate in such a horrible time. But all of those things, even just the threat, knowing in the back of your mind that, you know, that you're going to be fired if you did something. I mean, for those of us in the workforce who were put under that pressure that, you know, if you don't do this, you're going to lose your job. And a lot of people lost their jobs. You know, a lot of people became unemployed, ended up going home. And yeah, at first, you know, the money, I think, for a lot of those people was good because the federal government was kicking in money and the state was putting in, you know, whatever unemployment benefits are. But a lot of those people, you know, they still haven't recovered. I mean, look at the unemployment in this country right now. And so that not only did the people, so just imagine, so they became unemployed, which meant generally they made less money, or now they're making less money because a lot of those, you know, extra benefits have run out. And everybody in that household would be affected, because there's less money to buy stuff with. There's less money to buy food with. There's less money to buy clothes with. There's less money to buy entertainment with. There's less money to live on. And a lot of those families, you know, had multiple incomes to support the family. And a lot of those families, everybody became unemployed. And even if just one person became unemployed, you could imagine how much that hurt the income of the family. And so one of the things I was going to focus on was the harm that has been done to children. And I don't mean strictly, you know, hitting them with a vax, you know, traumatizing them with needles or vax injuries or COVID, which we all know kids are very resilient when it came to every single COVID variant that they dreamt up. Kids, it didn't really affect very much. They were young and healthy and they would survive for the most part. They would survive it. The damage that we have done, so mental health damage, physical damage, kind of cognitive development, socialization, all across the board. And it's not just damage that has been done. You know, it's not just, we screwed them up for a year. This is damage that's going to carry on for years to come. So in the numbers of 30 million vax die-offs over the next 3 years, that includes a lot of things that aren't going to have anything to do with the vax or the virus as far as directly either getting COVID or getting the vax. It has to do with the damage that we've caused to people. I would say especially children. I don't know, as adults, I'm sure that we've been affected I know that I've been affected because I know that I'm like one step away from walking out the door of my clinic and never going back. I know that there's going to be that one day that I just, something happens and I just say, yep, this is the day. And I just head out the door and I'm not coming back. You know, I'll grab whatever stuff is mine that I've taken there to have my own creature comforts at work and head home. And I think I'm a pretty well-adjusted guy. I never have bad days. I honest to God, from the time I was a kid till today, I mean, I have normal stuff, like, you know, when my dogs die or, you know, I lose a loved one. Yeah, that sucks. But break time. We'll pick it up in just a minute.
Turn the quiet up. Turn the noise down.
Right on. Thanks, Eric Church, for that. It was awesome. I always love hearing that song. Anyway, I was getting back to this damage, all the damage that we've done to basically everybody, and not through direct harm of COVID or vaccinations, but through all the stuff that people did. You know, not the bug or the juice. It's actually what people did. Hey, one thing is, I wanted to see, Rob Burks, you said you might want to play this one. Let's see what that is. Oh, Joe Rogan, let's hear it. Sorry, Rob says not that one. That's what I get. No, not that one. Okay, let's just go on. Okay, so I'll just pick this up. We'll put it in another show sometime until I figure it out. You know, I can't always read that critically while I'm doing the show. Man, Pebbles is really playing with everything on the desk today. That's cool. Okay, so here's what this study said. I think we're looking at 3 years here before it peaks, 22, 23, 24. This is a lot of stuff in the data that says 24 will be the tail off of it. So we have a number of very rough years ahead of us. Each year in succession will have more people dying than the year before. There is also going to be more infirmities, more illness, and more of a drain on the system. In this 3 years, we will take the globalists to task and hold them accountable for their crimes. I hope so. We are going to have a red pill moment that's coming soon. It's not going to take months. It's not going to take weeks. It's going to take a short period of time, and many of them are going to go ballistic. So I expect frequent, irregular, episodic periods of chaos. They won't be lashing out at society at large. They will be lashing out at their abusers. You will need to stand back. People will need to understand that there will be a section of the social order that is going to go crazy in anger, grief, and all of this. This will be very violent reactions. These will be very violent reactions to having been poisoned, and some of them will be spectacularly so in terms of the violence of it. It's not going to be wise to hang out around these elite guys. High's analysis, that's the guy who did this, the link will be in the show notes, now says at least 30 million people will die from CV19 injections one way or another in the next few years. Okay, so 30 million more people are going to die from the injections in the next few years. And like I was saying, a lot of people on Real Liberty Media, a lot of people who hang out in this chat room, and I think a lot of people who, you know, have been censored on the internet in various social media outlets, we're saying the same thing, because people know that this you couldn't possibly call this jab juice safe. But let's just look at some of the things that other professionals are saying about the damage that we've done to children and other people. So in this this one article from Epic Times, it was talking about Rachel, what's her name? I'm sorry, I forgot her name, honestly. I mean, I don't have any respect for her, so Walensky? I don't know what it is. But worst of all, by far, is what has been done to America's children as a result. And not only America, I mean, throughout the world, this has happened. The same things have happened to people. Yeah. You know, the same things have happened pretty much throughout the world. The past 2 years and continuing now in many venues have been the worst case of child abuse in human history. Unfortunately, that's not as hyperbolic as it sounds. Think about the numbers and the size of the population involved. The pervasive retardation and attendant neurosis of America's young, indeed millions throughout the world, because they have spent their early developmental years wearing masks and separated from others, trapped in their homes, staring at computer screens, that will be felt for decades to come. Suicides and suicidal ideation have escalated among the young. What does that say about their futures, not to mention ours? A generation of substance abusers looms. That many were vaccinated without reason is yet more scandalous. Fortunately, parents are beginning to resist this mass inoculation as warnings of the consequences of mRNA vaccines are being made public by, among others, the estimable Dr. Robert Malone, the actual inventor of the technology. Yeah, so Rogan has Malone on. Malone's the actual inventor of the technology, and some bonehead like Neil Young wants Rogan taken off because he has the actual guy who invented the frickin' technology on and talks to him, and somehow that's fake news. Anyway, who is responsible for all this? Many sources, Big Pharma, the CDC, World Health Organizations, and other governmental and quasi-governmental agencies. Those are ones I talk about, like the school board and other committees. And the Democratic Party among them. But that's not really fair because Republicans were right in there in the beginning doing the same thing. In fact, they started it all. So I hate for it to become kind of a party thing. It's not. Not to mention their unquestioning mouthpiece, the mainstream media, but we all know who is number one. Malone, in a recent email from his Substack, alerts us to the latest information about this person, or, as he puts it, more damning evidence on Dr. Anthony Fauci's role in all of this mess. So let's look at mental health study out of 985 articles identified 28 empirical studies with perspective, prospective, and retrospective longitudinal data included blah, blah, blah. Sleep habits were also changed during a pandemic as sleep duration significantly increased in children. Now, here's something crazy. So you all know that blue light is not good for you. Do you know that it interferes with your ability to sleep? Like it does something to your REM pattern of sleep? I actually think I mentioned it in one of the first episodes I did almost a year ago. And I will probably revisit that at some point because I don't think I ever really covered it in depth because so much other stuff was coming on. But the problem is, we isolated kids, we had them go into this remote learning thing, which I have kind of dual feelings about, because one thing is, okay, the remote learning ended up being more screen time, like massive amounts of screen time. Well, maybe not massive, because apparently teachers couldn't figure out how to make, treatment plans, teacher plans, for more than an hour or two of Zoom a day. But the bottom line is, kids were basically forced into having screen time. And, who provided those tablets? And why the whole system, it seems like, was set up to force these kids into screen time, which actually ended up kind of screwing up their ability to sleep. Even though it says the duration of sleep time increased, that's not always a healthy thing. It's not always that you just, you know, go to bed and sleep longer because you love sleeping, although I know a lot of teenagers do. But, you know, if your sleep pattern is all jacked up and your life is all messed up, your routine is all screwed up, and it doesn't matter what time you maybe go to school or go to bed because, you know, you're probably doing some independent learning on that freaking screen, you know, it can mess up your ability to sleep. Stress and trauma. As children moved to distant learning, they lost the support and services provided through school systems supporting their academic, physical, social, and psychological well-being. The impact of these losses have been significantly compounded for children with disabilities living in poverty and living in under-resourced communities. What I was going to say also about that screen time, and I did mention this before too, I'm kind of getting repetitive here, but it was funny that, you know, the complaint would be, you know, during, you know, 3 years ago, our kids spend too much time on those screens, like, you know, they're on it all the time, you know, which was true. You know, you constantly see them staring at the damn cell phone or tablet or computer or whatever, or TV. But then when they had to do it for school, all of a sudden it was a bad thing, which it's hard to kind of determine which part is the worst. But, you know, all of it is bad. There's only a certain amount of blue light you should do a day. And probably all of us do way too much. Well, a lot of us do. Let's see. Oh, routines and uncertainty, social isolation, removal from school and daily routines, as well as isolation and loss associated with illness, and some of the top stressors children are facing, like so many adults too, our children are also feeling the impacts of so much uncertainty around how long the pandemic will go on. And just imagine this. I mean, as adults, like, I think a lot of us were probably pretty shocked when this thing, well, number one, when they shut down the entire world, but especially us, I mean, individually, you know, however that could have affected you, like, you know, you can't go shopping because you don't have a mask, you know, you have to stay indoors, don't be out after dark, all this stupid stuff we went through, but we have some kind of ability. Like, because we've lived a life so many years, however many years it is, it's like, okay, well, you know, I can deal with that. But kids, man, I mean, they haven't had a ton of experience living. And I mean, so this 2 years of flattening the curve, which is this one, you know, more bit of horse shit after another, they have no idea that that's not normal. Like, they, so to them now, you know, let's say they're between 4 and 16 years old. I grabbed those two ages out of the sky. But, so 2 of their years have been lived doing this. Like that's normal. And it's not. And probably there was a lot of discussion and a lot of, hopefully there was a lot of discussion by parents and guardians and grandparents and people just saying, look, this is bizarre. Like, this isn't the way your life was supposed to be at all. We just got to figure out how to make it as normal as possible. But even with that, just the fact that these kids were isolated, were forced to wear masks when they did socialize. You know, and a lot of those times, I'm in one of those positions, being a dentist, you know, you look for ways to motivate young people to brush their teeth and to floss And, you know, one of the things is, like, when they get to be, and I don't get, like, real, I don't encourage anybody to behave poorly. But sometimes, like, for younger, like, the teenage years, I'll kind of mention to, you know, people, kids, look, you're going to start dating pretty soon, you know. Now, I don't go into detail, like, you're going to start kissing and making out and all that stuff. I just kind of leave it at, you're going to start dating pretty soon. And, you know, you don't want to have gross teeth. You know, like, you don't want to kiss somebody with gross teeth because you're going to get their bacteria. I just kind of, like, you know, there's some things that you got to know. But here are those same age group kids, for 2 years, have been prevented from going and kind of developing that part of their life, the romantic part of their life, experience that, I guess, hormonal part of their life. We've taken away so much. And, you know, a lot of some studies are pointing to other long-term effects. So here was a little wrap-up on the screen time. In the cross-sectional survey today, more physical activity and less screen time were associated with better mental health for children, accounting for pandemic stressors. Children engaged in suboptimal amounts of physical activity and screen time, making this a potential important target for intervention. Okay, so in the future. I won't go back. We've seen an increase in obesity, diabetes, and cardiovascular disease. Short-term changes in physical activity and screen behavior in reaction to COVID-19 may become permanently entrenched, leading to increased risk of obesity, diabetes, and cardiovascular disease in children. Programmatic and policy strategies should be geared towards promoting physical activity and reducing screen behavior over the next 12 months. So future medical complications could have begun due to the years spent in lockdown. And, you know, yeah. I mean, we all know you should be somewhat active. I try and get 20 to 30 minutes on that stationary bike every day. It doesn't happen every day. I try and do 6 days a week, take one day off. But you need activity. And you know how many of these people have the ability to go to, you know, be active? And how could you be active? I mean, yeah, okay, as adults, I can go ride a stationary bike, you know, and I'm good. I put my earbuds in, I ride for 20 or 30 minutes, listen to a podcast that I like. But I mean, kids generally play with other kids. You know, look at the animal kingdom, look at puppies. Puppies learn to behave by interacting with other puppies. Same with cats. Tons of animal, and I know we're not that kind of animal, but you learn a lot by socializing and playing with others your age group, basically, above and below maybe a few years. But, you know, so for 2 years of these kids' life, they haven't had that at all. Well, not anything like they would in a normal situation. You know, and I kind of heard this whole thing, you know, back when there was at the beginning of homeschooling, it seemed like there was this huge, fight, because I know public schools didn't want anybody to be homeschooled. Because, of course, that would take away from the, you know, public coffer. And, you know, the argument was, well, kids that are homeschooled are not going to be socialized very well. Which, I mean, you got to think about that. You know, is the argument that they're not going to be indoctrinated well if they're homeschooled? Okay, I get that argument, but as far as socialization goes, are they going to, I mean, it seemed like those kids that were homeschooled, I mean, they have the ability to go participate in those kind of social activities at public schools or in the community, like play basketball or football or soccer or volleyball or enter gymnastics or play tennis or chess club. So there's you know, opportunities for socialization. But, you know, when the government imposed this lockdown, in the beginning, it was so strict. I don't think they were letting anybody do anything. I mean, it was really isolation. No, I don't, Rob Works. I think it's the worst possible place for your kids to go. Absolutely. But I do think the socialization part is cool. You got to let them get together and do their thing, man. You got to let them play and kind of figure out how to be human, for crying out loud. And I think we, you know, by taking that away from, you know, 2 years already is crazy. 2 years already we have taken away from everybody, but, well, not everybody. A lot of people absolutely completely resisted, which I'm proud of those people, happy for those people. But our kids, man, 2 years of their developmental stage, honestly, is gone. I mean, was taken away, flat taken away. So, and you know, like there's some parents out there that just didn't have the ability to deal with it. You know, there are some parents out there that just kind of went along with everything. And I mean, hell, you hear them every day talking about, I saw local stories of parents complaining that one of the school districts here in Oregon, one of the counties, dropped all mask mandates, said, we're not doing anymore. We're just going to school. And they were like, oh, but you got to make them, you know, there were parents, literally, you have to make them wear masks. I can't send my kid to school if you don't have them wearing masks. The problem is, well, then send your damn kid to school with a mask and shut the hell up. But parents, you know, not always fully, you know, trained or willing to parent, and especially in that pandemic. I mean, think about it. Some of them went, you know, they were the working parent, and then the lockdown happened. They lose their job. They're stuck at home with their kid, and now you have to be a teacher. Now you have to be the parent who teaches them how to socialize and teaches them how to do math and writing and grammar and history and nature. And, you know, I've seen it go on in our house here, but the, you know, these kids have been homeschooled for a few years now, so it's not so new. But you know, but a lot of parents just weren't prepared to do all of that, so they probably did kind of a lousy job, and it's not their fault. I mean, they just weren't prepared for it, to be thrown into it so drastically, kind of instantly thrown into it. So a lot of those kids are going to suffer for a long time. Man, we are right up against it. I'm going to go a few minutes long because, you know, I play music, so I can cut down the, I can trim the show and still fit it in an hour. Oh, yeah, so I have one summary of all the damage that's been, not all of the damage, but the damage that we currently have information on that have been done to kids. Yeah, whether they did in-person schooling or remote schooling, there's studies that show both damages that, you know, harm that's been caused to kids in either situation. I think that'll be interesting. And, yeah. You know, so for a long time, we are going to be seeing the effects. It doesn't matter if, like, in some of the countries that have, you know, absolutely, you know, dropped mandates completely overnight, it seems like. The damage has been done. The damage isn't going away because, you know, the mandates get dropped tomorrow. The damage has been done. It's like the seed has been planted. Now we have to watch what grows in the next several years. And a lot of us aren't going to survive it. I'm sure. I just keep waiting for the thing, man. Whether it's the bug or some reaction to the jab, one of the two things is gonna take us out. But, you know, we can only do what we can do. Hey, you guys are awesome. Thanks for joining me. Remember, check out the chat room over at reallibertymedia.com. And I will see you guys probably Wednesday night. We'll do it again. As some of you, I'll see you tomorrow. Thank you so much. Bye.